Well, I will give you a little bit of news. This is the last Sunday we're going to feed 5,000. Amen. Now, the challenging part of feeding 5,000 with four different gospel writers is they all had a different focus. Today, we take the path for Mark, and he has some very unique things to say. So sit back, listen in. Surely you'll find something to beat your heart. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of those stories we think we already know, like 3 weeks in a row. We picture the baskets, the bread, the miracle, but Mark won't let us start there. Mark begins with something far more ordinary and far more honest. The disciples gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. They came back from mission exhausted. They have poured themselves out. They have given everything they had to give. And Jesus sees it. He doesn't tell them to push harder, buck it up, he doesn't say. He doesn't shame them for being tired. He says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Mark is the only gospel writer who begins the feeding story with burnout. It's as if he wants us to understand that the miracle doesn't begin with abundance. It begins with emptiness. Barbara Brown Taylor once wrote, "Exhaustion is not a sign of failure. It is a sign that you have given yourself away." That's where the disciples are. And if we're honest, that's where many of us find ourselves today. Stretched thin, doing our best, carrying more than we can possibly name. This is also where our Honest Conversations journey continues, with truth-telling about our limits, sustainability, ministry, real stewardship requires acknowledging that we cannot do everything alone. One example is the U.S. Food Waste Challenge, a partnership that brings together government agencies, nonprofits, faith communities, and businesses to redirect food that would otherwise get thrown away. It's a reminder that we don't have to carry the burden all by ourselves. We partner, we collaborate, we steward with what we have. And it's right in the middle of exhaustion that very human limitations, that the story turns. Because even as Jesus invites the disciples to rest, he keeps showing up with hunger. And what Jesus does next reveals a heart of the whole miracle. Mark tells us that when Jesus saw the great crowd, he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The word Mark uses for compassion is visceral, a word that means to be moved in your gut. This is not soft compassion. This is compassion that acts. Walter Brueggemann describes compassion as the capacity to stand in solidarity with the other and their hurt. That's what Jesus does here. He stands with them. He sees their hunger, their confusion, their longing for direction. And even though he and the disciples are tired, compassion pulls him towards them. Each gospel tells the story different. Matthew, well, he emphasized healing. Luke emphasized teaching. John emphasizes the Passover symbols. But Mark emphasizes shepherding, the kind of leadership that gathers people, guides them, organizes them. And that brings us to something surprising about Mark's telling. Not just what he included, but what he leaves out. Because Mark strips the story down to its essential moments, and those moments in which he makes the miracle possible. When you hear the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew, Luke, and John, we get rich details, memorable details. In John, we meet the boy with the loaves and the fish. In Matthew, Jesus heals the sick before he's feeding them. In Luke, Jesus teaches about the kingdom. In John, again, the whole story is framed by the Passover. But Mark, not Mark, Mark gives us none of that. There is no boy, there's no Passover symbolism, there's no extended dialogue, no reaction from the crowd afterwards. Mark's version is the shortest and starkest. It is the stripped down version that is just the essentials. Why? Because Mark wants us to see the movement of the story, the simple, powerful progression that makes the incredible miracle. Need, compassion, organization, shared action, abundance. Fred Craddock once wrote, "The gospel writers are not reporters, you see. They are theologians. Mark is not trying to give us every detail. He is trying to show us the heart of the matter. Mark wants us to see that the miracle doesn't depend on a heroic individual, not even a child with a lunch. The miracle depends on community, on people responding together, on compassion that organizes and multiplies. Our honest conversations lift up organizations that embody that same movement, organizations that don't try to do anything alone, but instead gather people, share responsibility, and multiply the impact. One example of this is the Harvard Food Law and Policy Clinic, which creates the Keeping Food Out of the Landfill toolkit. It equips communities, including churches, to direct food to people who need it. It's practical, it's collaborative, it's abundant, created through many hands. And that brings us to the heart of Mark's unique contribution. The image that shapes the whole story, because when Jesus looks into the crowd, he sees sheep without a shepherd. He is not just describing their hunger. He is describing the kind of leadership that will make the miracles possible. Mark has stripped down the story to its essential movement: need, compassion, organization, shared action, abundance. And now he gives us the image that holds the whole story, the image that explains why Jesus responded the way he does, the image that reveals the kind of leadership that makes the miracle possible. Mark writes, "He had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd." This is not a sentimental phrase. It is a deeply charged one. In Scripture, sheep without a shepherd is a critique of a failed leadership. Leaders who do not guide, leaders who do not protect or nourish their people, leaders who leave communities scattered, confused, and vulnerable, when Jesus sees the crowd, he sees much more than their hunger. He sees the absence of guidance, the absence of a connection, the absence of someone to gather them into a community capable of feeding one another. And so Jesus steps into the shepherd's role, not by dominating, not by performing a miracle, but by organizing. The miracle comes later. He teaches, he gathers, he prepares the people to sit in groups. He invites the disciples to participate. He creates the condition where abundance can emerge. And here, compassion looks like leadership. That brings people together so that everyone can be fed. Our Honest Conversations journey guides us to a leadership that is not about doing everything ourselves. It's about connecting people, stewarding together our resources, and building partnerships that make nourishment possible. An example of this leadership is the Farm Bureau Federation, which works to strengthen the food and farm workers, the very people whose labor makes our food system possible. Their work reminds us that feeding people is never the job of a single person, or a single institution. It is a shared work. It is a shepherding work. It's the work of tending the system and the people who make nourishment possible. This is the kind of leadership Jesus models in Mark. Leadership that sees the whole system, the whole community, the whole need. Leadership that gathers people into circles of shared responsibility. Leadership that trusts the abundance will come when everyone brings what they have. Jesus has seen the crowd. He has stepped into the shepherd role. He has gathered the people and drawn the disciples into the work. And now the story moves towards the moment we all remember. The miracle itself. But Mark wants us to notice something deeper happening beneath the surface. When we imagine this story, we often picture Jesus standing alone, holding a basket, multiplying bread and dividing power. But that's not how Mark sees it. In Mark's gospel, the miracle unfolds through many hands. Jesus blesses the bread, oh yes, but the disciples distribute it. And the people sit in organized groups, ready to receive and ready to share. The abundance flows through a community that has been gathered, taught, and prepared. Rachel Held Evans once wrote, "This is what happens when we stop worrying about scarcity and start trusting each other." That is the miracle behind the miracle. Not just the multiplication of bread, but the multiplication of trust. The multiplication of participation and shared responsibility. This is exactly what our Honest Conversation journey is inviting us into. A way of responding to hunger that is collaborative, sustainable, rooted in the belief that abundance grows when we work together. This is the kind of miracle Mark wants us to have. Not magic, just multiplication. The kind that happens when passion organizes us, when leadership gathers us, when community responds to the need. Because in Mark's gospel, abundance is never the work of one person. Abundance is never the work of one church. It is the work of all of us, offering what we have, trusting that God will make it enough. And so the question Mark leaves us with is not, do we have enough bread? The question that Mark leaves us with is, are we willing to bring what we have? Are we willing to be gathered? Are we willing to be organized? Are we willing to trust that God can multiply our small offerings into great abundance? Because the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 did not begin with bread. No, it began with compassion. It grew through community, and it ended with more than enough. What might God's multiplying have to do with us? In the congregation, in this season, in this land of plenty, if we dare to offer what we have and trusted God to make it enough, will we bring what we have and trust God to multiply it? Amen.